Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we sing this song together?
When I call on your name, you answer. When I fall, you are there by my side. You delivered me out of darkness. Now I stand in the hope of your life. Stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I come alive in you. You're my God and my firm foundation. It is you who I'll trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who's seated on high. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I'm alive in you. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compared. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. Your name, you answer. When I fall, you are there by my side. You delivered me out of darkness. Now I stand in the hope of new life.
Thank you, Jesus. Have you found that love that's greater than life itself? Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
While you remain standing, I'm going to give the opportunity to give. One of the ushers, if you could stand at the back with an offering plate, and then as you greet one another, you can pass by the plate and worship with your wallet. And we're just thankful that you're here in the house of the Lord. And give you opportunity to do that. Greet each other with a smile as you give unto the Lord.
Be praised. worthy to be praised.
God is great in my soul.
God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great and greatly to be praised.
God is great in my soul.
God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great and greatly to be praised.
God is great. Oh, yes, God is great and he's greatly to be praised.
God is so great
in my soul.
God is great and greatly to be praised.
God is great in my soul.
God is great and greatly to be praised. God is so great
in my soul.
God is great and greatly to be praised.
God is great in my soul.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is great and he's greatly to be praised. Whether or not he's great in my soul, well, that depends on some of what I do. He's great. He's awesome. He has all power. There's unlimited possibility and potential. But whether or not he's great in me, everything that he can be in me, that depends upon my faith. That depends upon, am I allowing him? The Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That literally means where the Spirit is made Lord. Where he's not just my Savior, he's my Lord, he's my Master. I am submitted unto him. And the more I am submitted unto him, the more power that I have to do what he would have me to do. Amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to update you on the insurance work that has taken place here at the church. At this point, they have completed 99% of the work, and we have received the payments from the insurance company, and we're in the process of negotiating those final terms, contractor, and making sure everything is done that was supposed to be done. We actually had a little more done. The contractor committed to do some things that weren't actually in the scope of work, and he didn't have to do it, but I guess through trying to make up for some of the time, if you will, and some of the other difficulties that were presented in the process, he decided to go ahead and do that work at his own cost, and so we're thankful for that. But all things being done, it looks like that the total amount of work that was done via the ceiling in here being repainted, the roof outside, the metal flashing, about $68,000 worth of work was completed and done here. And the great thing about that is that not $1 came out of our pocket. And so we're very thankful that the Lord worked that out. We were able to have all the work done. We desperately needed the roof redone, and the interior painted over that corner was really bad. I don't know if you remember that or not, but there is, as is the case with a building of this age, there is always more work to be done. We still have a little bit of work left to do in the kitchen, the remodeling there, but it is good to see things happening and good to see work taking place. I do want to publicly thank Gary Piles, Sister Sue Ann Piles, they have taken the landscaping and the bushes and the flowers, and they come to me and I just say, listen, I trust you guys. Landscaping's not my thing. I'm not I don't have a green thumb. But I trust your judgment and what you're doing, and I think it looks great. And I'm thankful for people that would just take opportunity and go and do that. Thank you for that. We want to take some needs of the Lord in prayer, and here in just a few moments, we're going to allow you to express those needs should you have them among the congregation. One thing I do want us to pray for, obviously, other people than myself have connections of individuals in Florida and what seems to be the path of this big storm that is circulating out there. I know it's already done quite a bit of damage, and there has been some deaths as a result of this storm. Hurricanes are not anything new for the state of Florida and the East Coast. They are well aware of what takes place, and there's a lot of preparation that goes in. But let's maybe pray for the hard-headed people that don't understand that these storms are very serious and can inflict harm and even possible death. But let's pray God's hand of protection upon those people in the path of the storm, and let's make that a matter of prayer as we go before the Lord tonight. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to make mention, Sister? All right, Sister D. You know her name? Heather. All right, let's remember Heather in prayer. Anybody else? Sister Darling? All right. Certainly. Certainly. Awesome. Certainly. Very worthy request. Sister Angie. Certainly. Let's remember Juniper, the ride. Certainly. Yeah. Certainly. Let's remember. And let's also remember Brother Ryan and obviously, we know what's going on in the sense of law enforcement in our world today, and let's pray God's hand of protection upon him and his help, and in that precarious place of employment, let's just put it that way, and the situations that they're often involved in, and I think that's a very worthy request. Sister Christy? All right. Just remember your family, certainly. 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 Why don't you stand to your feet? We serve a wonderful Savior. Amen. He's a good God. He's a good God. Let's go to Him right now. Dear Jesus, we love You. God, we're so thankful for Your provision, God. Your love, God, Your long-suffering to us, Lord God. We thank You, God, that You're patient with us, God. Lord, we thank You that we can come to You in faith, believing, God. And though we don't understand it all, God, we understand, God, that there is directives, God. And there You have directed and ordered our steps, God, that You have orchestrated events of our lives, God. And we ask You, Lord, to help, God, to heal the brokenhearted, to uplift the downtrodden, God, for those in need of a healing touch. For this young lady, Heather, God, we pray, Lord, in the realization, God, of what lies ahead, Lord, that she would look to You, God. Lord, and with faith, God, stretch her mind to believe, God, that You are there, God, and that You desire, God, to take her, God, for Your own. We love You, Jesus. We praise You. We thank You, God, for those taking steps, God, in direction, God, that You would have them to go. We applaud. We thank You, God, for Your goodness, Lord, for those dealing with tragedy, God, and sickness situations in their life, God. We know that we have You to depend upon. We have You to trust in, God, to know that Your hand of help is upon us, God, to strengthen us, to lead and guide us, to give us that which we have need of, Lord Jesus. We love You. We thank You. We honor You. We praise You, God, for who You are and what You do. We lift You up and magnify Your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. The name of Jesus Christ we ask. Why don't you clap your hands? The Lord, He's worthy of praise. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study of discerning good and evil. This is our fourth week that we have talked on this subject, and I'm not, it's kind of one of those things, however long the Lord leads me and provides me the material, if you will, to teach, that's how long I'll teach it. But I'm thankful that I believe God has directed us to look at this subject. I know that for me, in endeavoring to lead the church, endeavoring to lead my family, I need to better discern between what is good and what is evil. I need to know. I need to have a better understanding of those things that I should avoid and those things that I should make a part of my life. Because let's face it, we live in a very deceptive world. We live in a world that is almost constantly consumed with making shades of gray, confusing the issue. It's as if that every day we read about it or we hear about it, or we see it in our news, how that there's another situation or there's another circumstance that seems to cloud and confuse choices and decisions. And so in this turbulent time, if you will, in this time where we are acknowledging the abounding of evil, if you will, and the confusion and the deception that exists in our world, we need to know. We need to know. You and I, we need to know the difference between good and evil. Because let's face it, there's some things that we may allow into our life that have a semblance of good, but their long-lasting effects are not good for us. They are detrimental for us and maybe even for our family. And so we need to be able to decipher, to discern between good and evil. And so tonight we're launching that into a little bit more. Last week we talked about the difference between in depth, between revealed knowledge and communicated knowledge. We talked about at length how that the serpent went after Eve because she was a possessor of communicated knowledge, where Adam was the possessor of revealed knowledge. And so we talked about how that it is much more important to have revealed knowledge than communicated knowledge, and that revealed knowledge always trumps communicated knowledge. And so tonight we're going to go a little bit deeper. We're going to talk about how you and I are able to discern, how you and I are able to know what is good based upon revealed knowledge. And we're going to talk about what is the great source of revealed knowledge that, quite frankly, we all should interact with more than we do. I think some of you already know where I'm going, but I hope that by the end of tonight, you will understand that this, the Word of God, the revealed Word of God, this the Holy Bible that we have, that the what some people call the good book, is exactly that. It is the good book. It is the book which tells us what is good and what is evil. It is the book that orders our steps and should guide our decisions in life. And so we're gonna talk about it. But I want to look at this verse of Scripture. It's in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 13. But evil men, this is Paul writing young Timothy, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, let me stop there because I want to make this parallel. When someone is converted, when someone comes into the church, when someone experiences what we call the new birth, it is interesting that this parallel, this new birth, this beginning, if you will, in this newness of life, we can parallel spiritual things with natural things. Children, infants, they don't know the difference between good and evil. They have to be taught. They have to be instructed. It's sad to know that there are a lot of children growing up today doing what they think is good or what they have been taught is good, but in all reality is evil. Amen? And so... Paul writing young Timothy, he's not only talking to Timothy in the sense of him as a natural child, but he's also talking about us indirectly in the sense of our spiritual infancy. When we come into Christ and when we come into this newness of life, we would be remiss to think we know at that point the difference between right and wrong. We don't. The Bible tells us that the grace of God teaches us. That we learn as we study and as we look into the Scriptures. And that's why we read Scriptures that say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so from that point where we are born into the kingdom, we do not know immediately what is right and what is wrong. We don't. But the more that we rely upon the Spirit of God, the more that we rely upon the Holy Ghost as the teacher, the more we're able to understand and look at the textbook and be able to decipher between what is right and what is wrong, to discern between good and evil. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All, everybody say all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all, everybody say all good works. So let's talk about this Scripture. Let's talk about what I would call the source of revealed knowledge. Let's talk about the Word of God. If we understand this world is becoming worse, as we just read 2 Timothy 3, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. As the deception increases, then there must be a source of revealed knowledge to combat the deception. If we can understand, if we believe that what Paul wrote young Timothy was correct, that the evil men and seducers shall wax
worse and worse, deceived and deceiving. In other words, the deception is increasing. Evil is not subsiding. Doesn't take a rocket science to see that in our world. Evil is not sitting on the sideline. Evil is in the game. Evil, as the Bible says, is increasing. Then there must be a source. There has to be something, a source of revealed knowledge wherewith you and I can combat the deception. If the deception is increasing, then there has to be something that gives us the power to overcome the deception. There has to be something that helps us discern between good and evil. Adam and Eve chose to evaluate good and acceptable apart from God's counsel, apart from the revealed knowledge. They made an assessment according to a different set of standards, their own. They decided, well, maybe what the serpent says is right, and what God said wasn't right. Maybe they decided, instead of relying upon the revealed knowledge, instead of relying upon what God said, don't eat of it lest you die, they made their own assessment based upon their own standards. Ah, is that not the same? Are we not in that same situation? Is that not still the way the enemy works? Are we still not in a society that has decided to rule based upon their own assessment and upon their own standards, to say the word of God is archaic, that it's not up to date, it doesn't have much to do with modernity and today? And you, but we know that not to be true. We know that the Bible is just as applicable today as it's ever been. And as evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, then you and I have to have something that has the ability to give us that which will come against deception. Because the divine guidance of God was forfeited in favor of their own assessment, they committed evil. And sin entered into the world. So even now, without divine influence, deception maintains dominion and sin abounds. Folks, without the power of the Holy Ghost in one's life, without the Spirit of God, without divine influence, deception still has dominion. Sin still abounds. And until you and I learn that the source of revealed knowledge, the Word of God, the infallible Word of God, is the source of what we need in order to combat, it is divine guidance. It is giving that which we need in order to not be overcome by the deception. So let's look at this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I want to pay particular attention. All Scripture is profitable for all good works. I know I'm paraphrasing, but we need to understand the context of that. All Scripture is profitable for all good works. Either God's wisdom is perfect in all cases, or it is flawed and we are better making our own decisions. I'm going to say that again. Either God's wisdom is perfect in all cases, in every situation. I don't care what society says. I don't care how the government decides. I don't care what or who says this. If it is in contradiction to the Word of God, the wisdom of God, the source of revealed knowledge, will always trump it. And when we decide that based upon our own assessments and our own knowledge and our own way of thinking that we know better than God, we get into the mess that we're in now. We see the evil that we now see in our society. Why? Because a society that thinks they can go on without God is a society that will succumb to the dominion of Satan, and it will be overcome by sin, and henceforth we have what we have. We live in the society that we live in. And let me just say this. In case you and I have fallen under the deception that we live in a good world, we are sadly mistaken.
Because there is none good but God. None. And there is no other source of revealed knowledge that is more important to us than the Word of God. It is no wonder why evil and unrighteousness abound in our world, for we, thinking ourselves to be wise, as the Scripture says, have become fools. We think we know. We think that we know better than the Word of God. We think that we have a better understanding of what we're up against than what the Word of God does. And now we see the situation that we're in. We see what's happening in our society. We see the decisions that are being made that we know. Not only are they having an effect right now, but the long-term effect of those situations and those decisions are dire. We know that. So here's some questions we must ask. Do we believe the Bible is the source of revealed knowledge of God? I would hope that your answer would be yes. Do we believe that the Bible is the source of the revealed knowledge of God? Do we believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? Do we believe that it is? Now, I know we say yeah, and we shake our heads, the affirmative. Yeah, yeah, Pastor, I believe that. I believe that the Bible is the source of revealed knowledge. Do we read and study our Bibles in order to overcome the deception of this world? Okay, now you're making it a little bit more personal. I can readily agree that I believe that the Bible is a source of revealed knowledge of God. Well, my Bible tells me that faith without works is dead. And so if I truly believe that, why then would I not take the time to study it? Why then would I not take the time to meditate upon the Scriptures? Why then would I not take the time to pray and read my Bible and do those things that I know are going to provide me the divine influence to overcome the dominion of sin? Because guess what? If I don't have divine influence in my life, what makes me think that I'm any better than Eve? What makes me think that I'm not going to succumb to the deception? What makes me think that I'm going to be able to rightly divide and understand the difference? If the deception, and here I thought about this, if the deception is increasing and our interaction and knowledge of the revealed knowledge of God is decreasing, why are we then surprised that evil is abounding? Think about that. If the Bible tells us that in these latter times that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, in other words, that evil is increasing, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure that out. We can understand that evil is increasing. Now let me ask you this. If evil is increasing, then why in the world would our interaction and our knowledge of the Word of God be decreasing? If anything, it should be increasing. If anything, our interaction with the Word of God and our reading and meditating and studying the Word of God should increase. Because if it doesn't, guess what? The tide of evil becoming worse and worse and the deception increasing. If I'm not up to that challenge through divine influence and I'm not able to combat that deception by interacting with the revealed source of knowledge, then why would I be surprised when I look at evil abounding? Please understand this. It saddens me to think that parents will often look at the situation of their kids and think, well, I wonder how they got there. Well, in a large part, I can tell you many times how they got there. Now, it's not a, I realize that there's an exception to the rule. I get that. But if we're not going to train them up in the way that they should go, if we don't know how to rightly divide the Word of God, if we don't know how to discern between good and evil, how in the world are we going to teach them how to discern between good and evil? If I'm not taking time to meditate and study and read the Word of God and solidify decisions in my life based upon divine influence, how in the world should I expect them to? Especially the teenagers that have the mandate. Lord only knows what they're thinking. They need influence in their life. They don't need a parent to be a friend. They need a parent to be a parent. They need a parent to say, hey, that's good and that's evil. And the evil, as long as you're under
roof, and as long as I have opportunity, I'm going to do my very best to keep you from it. And the good, whatever the good is, I'm going to drive you towards it. I'm about to get pretty personal. Because we got to be careful, because when we push our kids to athletics and other things in school and other things outside of the God, but then make church attendance and attendance to other events, that's optional. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful what you're teaching them. Be careful the principles you're laying before them. I stepped in it, so I'm just going to play in the puddle for a little bit. When we'll go to work hawking and hacking and coughing and running a fever and doing but we miss church because we got a runny nose. What are we teaching? What are we showing other people? I know I stopped teaching and started meddling, but it's so anyhow. Do we, through prayer, study, meditation, spend enough time searching out God's wisdom for our lives? Or do we, like Eve, presume we are fluent enough in His Word to know the difference and be able to discern between good and evil? She, in a perfect environment, never been abused, no baggage, never been done wrong, no corruption. She lives in a utopia. Everything around her is good. And she fell. Adam subsequently fell. What makes me think I'm exempt? Am I so prideful in my lifestyle that I think I can do this without God? That I can make the right decisions without divine influence? I'm here to tell you, I can't and you can't. We cannot make the right decisions without the divine influence of Almighty God. We cannot make decisions based upon our own assessments, and we certainly can't do it based upon how we feel and our own heart. It has to be guided by the Word. Order my steps in Your Word. Teach me. Guide me. Let me understand that, because I'm not going to know on my own, and society certainly isn't going to teach me. Now, I'm going to go a little step further. And if I'm just depending upon pastor to teach me, and I'm not getting it for myself, and I'm not burying my nose in the book, and I'm not spending time studying to show myself approved unto God, and then I wonder why I get myself into messes, and I wonder why all of a sudden evil is abounding in this situation. Well, maybe if I'd have gone to the revealed source, maybe if I'd have gone back to the book, you know, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, the Bible, the good book. The source of revealed knowledge. Let's talk about the good book. Let's talk about the Bible. If all Scripture is not inspired by God, then it cannot be the good book. And we have a flawed manual. I know that would be met with some silence, but let's face it. If it's not all inspired by God, if it's not all, A-L-L, if it's not all inspired by God, then it's flawed. And if it's flawed, it's good for nothing. On the other hand, if the Bible is inspired by the only one who is good, then any other source is suspect. I'm sorry, but you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't say, well, the Bible is good for some things, but not good for others. Doesn't work that way. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God for all good works. It's not a pick or choose. It's all of it. Jesus said, every jot and every tittle will be fulfilled. That's the smallest mark in the Hebrew language. Jot and tittle. All of it. Are there any other books claiming divine inspiration? Anybody? Are there any other books claiming divine inspiration? I'm getting some no's and I'm getting some yes. Are there? What other books
claim divine inspiration? The Quran. Yes. That Muhammad was revealed. An angel came and spoke to him in a cave and gave him the words of the Quran. And how many billions of people follow the Quran? Anybody else? Book of Mormon. Angel Moroni came down, talked to Joseph Smith. You want to do something that will open your eyes? Do a study on Joseph Smith someday. It'll rock your world. And yet there's a whole religion, and some may say a whole state, that is influenced by that religion, by that source of knowledge. Catch it. But is it the revealed source of knowledge?